And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight, well, I said I was going to surprise you last week, and I think this will be a little bit of a surprise because in the past, we've been reviewing a number of different wines from mostly Trader Joe's, but from a number of different places that were a little on the high end, maybe lesser known, some lesser known wines to try out. But this one is one that is a commonly found wine, fairly popular among some circles. And we're going to review that one tonight. And it's a Cabernet. So looking forward to trying it out because I like a good cab. Who doesn't, right? All right, well, I've got the wine, and I have a coffee. As I said last week, I promised last week we were going to review a coffee, and we are going to do that tonight as well. Plus, we have some really nice foods to pair the wine with, and, well, we're going to, where's my itinerary here? Yes, here we are. We're going to open, pour, taste, and review the wine, pair it with food. We're going to I'm going to tell you a little story about this wine, too, about the winery that makes this wine, the family behind this winery. And I'm also going to bring up some national days to toast. We're going to toast some national days. We have a few to toast. And also, we're going to review the coffee, and we're going to tell some dad jokes that are directly related to one of the national days. I think you can guess what it is. Also, we have tonight's sci-fi trivia questions. So please join me in the chats. Of course, if you're joining me here for the first time or the 225th time, because this is the 225th episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is, of course, a stream of consciousness kind of show. We're live on about four different venues, so you can join in the chats live. But this is somewhat a stream of consciousness show. I do have the show notes. They're right here, as always, but I don't always follow them verbatim because I rely on the chats to help drive a lot of the show because you are part of the show. So get in the chats, join in here on this Saturday night, and get with me. We'll drink together. We'll be merry together. Hey, that's what the show is about. Now, you can get in the chats. I'll tell you where you can get the chats here live on. Let me pull that up here for just a moment. There we go. The webpage, drinkwithrick.com. You can go to drinkwithrick.com. You can find all the links there at drinkwithrick.com for the Saturday Night Wine Stream. We are live on our Facebook page at facebook.com/drinkwithrick. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@drinkwithrick. Twitch. We are on live on Twitch, twitch.tv/drinkwithrick and the number one, all one word. We're also on Odyssey. Odyssey is odyssey.com/@drinkwithrick /7. We are live in all those venues with live chats. Now, you can also watch live at our website at drinkwithrick.com. I do not have a live chat going on the website itself, but if you click on the episode. That's last week's episode. I don't know what that's all about. But I know what that's all about. As always, some kind of little glitch there. I forgot to post that live. There we go. Now let's see. It should be showing up now. There's always some little glitch because I don't have a producer. I'm doing this all myself. There we go. There's tonight's episode. If you go to tonight's episode, click on the link for the title. For tonight's episode, Mondavi Wine and Organic Coffee with Time-Sensitive Dad Jokes. Yeah, there's a clue right there. You go down, scroll down there, you will see a comment box. Put in your comments in the comment box, and I will respond in kind. It won't be right away, but I will respond, and I'll see if I can read the comments in the next episode of the Wine Stream. Also, you can subscribe to the show. If you can't watch now live, you can't watch later, you can subscribe to the podcast. The podcast, if you go to the subscribe page at drinkwithrick.com, which is where I am right now, you can subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, your favorite Android device here, iHeartRadio, Blueberry.com, the good folks at Blueberry, a great people. Podcastindex.org, that's the Podfathers website, Adam Curry. And by email, oh yes, TuneIn, can't forget TuneIn and Deezer. And the RSS, you can subscribe via RSS as well. Yeah, I'm old school here. Also by email, if you click on the by email button right here, you can subscribe by email. Just put your email address in that little box right there that I'm showing, if you can see it, and you will get you put your email address in that box, send it off to me, click on the little blue subscribe button, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. It's just for the show. Of course, you can buy me a coffee if you want, or two, or three, or five, or whatever. If you buy me a coffee, that'll help support the show. Actually, let me pull that up for just a moment, because that is also an option there. You can buy me a coffee. Let me go back to that page here, and if I can find it again. There we go. You can buy me a coffee there, and click on that little blue button and put in your donation there, and that really, really helps me to get the show out to you. It doesn't really pay the bills per se, but it really helps, especially approaching the holidays where I use those funds to pay for the prizes that I give away on the show and that I'm going to be giving away during the holidays, because I want to do the drinking game. We're going to have some other fun. So please, if you can donate there. Also, you can follow and subscribe and like and all the good stuff on all those venues. On Facebook page and YouTube and wherever we are. You know, also follow me on Twitter. That's fine. You can do all of that if you want. There's no obligation to do that. But if you like the show, please follow, like, and subscribe. That really does help support the show and what I'm doing here each Saturday night, which is really just entertaining you and having a great time. That's what this show is about. Now, keep in mind, if you're in the chats, I want to mention that we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion on the show. We don't talk about things that tear people apart. We want to talk about things that bring people together, as wine does. That's what we want to do. Get together and just, you know, get together with old friends, meet new friends, and just have a good time. That is really what this show is about. All right. So having said that, let me go check the chats one more time. For the first time, actually. And my good friend Ed is in the chat, and Ed says, "Hey, Rico, and it's great to see you, Ed. Hey, right back at you. It's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for stopping in, and I hope you'll hang around for the show, because we're going to have some fun." Those folks watching on Twitch, please jump in and say, we've got folks watching there, jump into the chat and tell me how you're doing. And also on Odyssey and on YouTube. I want to make a mention first before we start the wine, just as a reminder that this coming November 18th, Saturday night, I'm going to be premiering Space Apes from Ice Planet Alpha. We're going to do it on the show in segments, but it's in entirety. And we may do a giveaway or two as well. And I'm looking forward to this. Is going to be the official launch, the official premiere. You should say, or re-premiere, because it did premiere in 1992, but we only showed it once or twice. There were only a couple of showings, and then it went locked away for about 31 years. And after 31 years, we're going to premiere it officially, and it's going to be all over the place. So, we're going to launch it specifically on this show, on this episode. And I'm going to see if I can pick a special wine for that. Let's see if we can do that. Anyway, I hope you join me for that. This will be November 18th at 10 p.m. Eastern time, not Eastern Daylight Time. We'll get to all that in a few minutes. But in the meantime, if you have any questions or whatever, just drop me a line, rick@savoyamedia.com, rick@savoyamedia.com right here. All right, so let's get to the wine. This is what we're opening up tonight. It's C.K. Mondavi Family. This 2021 Cabernet Sauvignon is a California wine. This is from, this is California. It is supposedly rich and velvety. That's what it says on the front, right? It says unmatched quality for five generations. It was established. The winery was established in 1946. It's family owned. and it has 100 plus medals for this wine. I don't know how valid some of those medals are. They give away medals like candy sometimes on these wines. It's more marketing than anything else, but I can tell you that there are some that are genuine. Let's look at the back of this wine for a moment. I'm going to read the back of this wine. It says, C.K. Mondavi and Family, California Cabernet Sauvignon, made in USA certified, 100% U.S. content. There you go. You don't see that often anymore, do you? It says, this Cabernet Sauvignon has a classic deep red color, rich with cherry and blackberry flavors with a hint of oak and a long silky finish for a perfectly balanced wine. Our family winery has handcrafted fine wines for over 75 years. We harvest grapes at their peak of ripeness from our 1,850 acres and prime California vineyards, creating wines to be enjoyed every day, whatever the occasion. And it's vented and bottled by C.K. Mondavi and Family in St. Helena. Yeah, it's in California. St. Helena? I don't know. I don't live in California. Been there a couple of times. Alcohol is 13.6% ABV in this 750 milliliter bottle. Also, if you're in Iowa or Maine, you can get a deposit, I guess, a 5-cent deposit or Maine 15% deposit, and it is recyclable. So I'm reading everything. I'm reading everything on this label tonight. Look, if you've heard the name Mondavi, if it sounds very familiar to you, it should. Robert Mondavi is a name that has been around for a long time, generations as well. And the question is Robert Mondavi, Robert Mondavi wines are on shelves on supermarkets everywhere. It's a commonly found wine. They make a lot of wines. They're a very large winery in California. Robert Mondavi, C.K. Mondavi, are these two related? I'll answer that question after we open the wine. Because there's a story behind this. There's a very interesting story full of some drama and things like that. And I'm going to relay some of that to you. But let's get to opening the wine. So I have, first of all, I have my glass here. I'm going to pull that over here. I've got the wine bottle. Let's get the wine bottle in place. This is one of those screw top wines, so I don't have to deal with opening up with a corkscrew or do the decorking. Just have the bottle cap there. And no, I'm not going to smell the bottle cap. But I will use, I didn't chill this wine, by the way. I will use my handy dandy aerator, and whoa, it's kind of floating there a little bit, and I can see just a little bit of displacement. I've got to be very careful about punching this in there. Let me get, oh, wow. Yeah, it's pretty full. Look at that little displacement. And the paper towel got caught at the top a little bit. Yeah. All right, well, such as it is. Let me see if I can get that out of there. That bugs me. Okay, there we go. So you can see that the wine goes, look at that. It goes all the way up to the top. They really filled this bottle full. And I think one reason is because it does not have a deep punt. There's a slight little punt in there, a slight little pit in the bottom of the bottle, but it is not a deep one at all. So, there you go. Whatever that means, okay? And let's go ahead and pour a little bit of this wine into the glass. And, of course, to hold the grape nectar, I have my genuine Galway Irish crystal glass, given to me by my employers at buy2wayradios.com. And I also, to hold the glass, I also have my official Drink with Rick coaster. And I plan to give a few more away during the holidays. So please show up for that. All right, we're going to pour a little bit of this wine in here into the glass. Get things started. There we go. Get things going there with the wine. And then we're going to give it a good swirl. And, you know, I've kind of more or less made my swirl music officially the the more cowbell. We'll give it some more cowbell. So let's go ahead and do a little swirling and give it just a little more, because it does. It needs more cowbell. So we're just going to swirl this around. More cowbell. Okay. All right. I think we got it. That's a good swirl. I can smell the aromas coming up here. I'm getting a few whiffs of some aromas here. I'm going to give this a good whiff and a good taste. But first, before we do that, let me check the chats one more time, and then we'll learn a little bit more about the wine. And Ed, I hope you had a great week. I hope everything went well for you this week. And I hope everybody's doing well, everyone watching on all these venues where we're live. And again, the chats and say hi. All right. Let's learn a little bit more about this wine, shall we? All right. So I checked around. I saw the CK Mondavi label when I was walking around my local Harris Teeter here in Charlotte, which is basically owned by Kroger. And I saw this and I thought, I didn't see any Robert Mondavi wines. I used to see Robert Mondavi wines around. I didn't see any, but I see this CK Mondavi. And I said, is this the same wine or is this something different? Because to be honest, I've been drinking wines from the wine store at winestore-online.com. At some of the other wine shops around, the specialty ones, the local wine shops, some of the mountains, also Trader Joe's, been buying a lot of wines from Trader Joe's, and of course the ever popular and well known Total Wine. I have really not purchased any wines from my local supermarket in quite a while. But when I did in the past, I saw the Robert Mondavi wines, and I haven't seen any lately. But I saw the CK Mondavi, and I said, "Are these the same people? Is this the same winery?" Well, it turns out, kind of yes and no. There's a story behind that, but we'll talk about that as we sip the wine. But before we do that, I will get into the particulars about this wine. When I checked around online, I saw that it was listed on Vivino, of course. And they give it a 3.4 rating out of 113 ratings overall. I think that's overall. And they said the 2021 vintage rates better than any other year for this wine. Checking the reviews, I didn't really study the reviews too much, but I just kind of skimmed through them a little bit. They seemed to fairly, someone thought, yeah, it was okay. It was okay. And, you know, some people really liked it and others just said, man, it's all right. So I thought, okay, that's all right. I checked around online a few other places, kind of got the same, and it's everywhere. Unlike many of the other wines, and this is one other thing that is a completely different tone from some of the other wines that we've reviewed in the past in the wine stream. It's a different track. Is that a lot of those other wines were ones that I picked that or found that really weren't that well known, that well popular, and they were just some of them were a little obscure, at least online. And I thought, well, this is good. I want to try something new and different. This one is a well-known wine. You can find it pretty much on any supermarket shelf in any supermarket wine department. So it was not surprising to me that I saw a lot of information on it online. I mean, I could do a search for this, and it just a whole lot of information on it just everywhere. So I didn't want to go slogging through it all, but I did do a couple of things. I did go to Wine Searcher, and I found it on Wine Searcher, and they're saying that the average price for this is, for the 2021 vintage, is $6 for a 750 milliliter bottle. They gave it an 85 out of 100 from one critic review. I didn't read the review or anything like that, but I did look at the pricing, the price comparison, and I saw that Market View Liquor had in New York had it to, had for $6.49. WineMadeEasy.com, Prestige Wine in New York, $7.99. Canal's Discount Liquor Mart in New Jersey, $8.99. I think most of these were on the East Coast. So there were some. There was one at Westchester Wine Warehouse in New York for $13.99. Liquor Mart, the same one, Canal's in New Jersey for $14.99. I think that's for the bottle, yeah? It's for the bottle. Interesting. So it kind of averaged from between $7 and $15 a bottle. Vivino had it listed for $9.99 a bottle. And it seemed to kind of average that across the internet. Now, what I paid for this wine, because I do have my Harris Teeter receipt from Harris Teeter on this, and what I paid for this, I got it for a little bit of a discount, it looks like. It says that their price on it was $9.99 a bottle, I think, is what they had here. Is this the right one? It might be. That's pretty. No, this is the... Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. That's the wrong receipt. Where's the other receipt? Where's the right receipt here? Oh, I don't have the receipt for it here. Okay, that's the receipt for the coffee. I looked down there and said, whoa, wait, what is this? I saved $2 on the coffee. We'll get to that later on. Okay, I don't actually have the receipt for this wine. So I'm not really sure what I paid for it, but I think it was, $9.99 sounds about right. Let me see. No, I do. It is in the bottom. Okay. I missed it. It's right here in the very, very bottom. I thought I had the wrong receipt. Okay. Yes, I have it here. What I paid for this CK Mondavi Cabernet Sauvignon, $6.49. And $6.49. I don't know if you can see it here, but I don't know if it's that important. $6.49 is what I paid. So there you go. That is a receipt. And then the coffee's on the same receipt. We'll get to the coffee later. Anyway. So, $6.49 for this bottle of wine. So, we'll see what it tastes like. And let me check the chats one more time. Let's get to the wine. Let me check one more time here. I don't want to miss anybody. I know I've done that in the past. People get upset when I miss them. I don't want to miss anybody. All right. Okay, we're good. All right, so let's give this a little bit of a whiff. Kind of mix of a cherry and strawberry. Mix of cherry and strawberry. It's in. And a little bit of oakiness on the nose. Let's give it a taste. Oh, wow. That's a very interesting mix. Cherry and I feel like I'm tasting blueberry in here. Kind of a mix of cherry and blueberry and a little bit of blackberry. This one is kind of floating back and forth. It's a little bit oaky, not a lot, but it's maybe a little bit of vanilla in there too. It's fairly bold wine, and it seems like it's kind of it's not real. It's kind of light on the taste. It's bold. It's bold tasting in the sense that it's kind of, it comes out bold, but then it kind of ends on a really light, I don't want to say it's watery, but it's kind of a bold taste, but it has kind of a very light. It's really weird because it doesn't look. The complexion isn't that light. It's kind of medium body, but it tastes light bodied. It has a bold taste, but it's light bodied. If that makes any sense. Very interesting. Very interesting combination. Actually, come to think of it, it's not quite so bold anymore. The first taste seemed bolder, but this one doesn't seem quite so bold anymore. So it is, yeah, it's kind of, it doesn't look light bodied. It looks kind of medium bodied, but it does taste, has a lighter taste, you know, like I don't know. I don't want to say it's watery, but it's very. This is very easy to drink, I should say. But it's kind of a bold. The flavors are kind of bold at first, and then they taper off. And as they go down, it's very, very. It's a long. This is what's weird about this wine. This wine has a fairly long finish. It seems to have a fairly long finish, but. It starts off bold, and as it goes down, it just kind of loses a lot of that boldness. The flavors just kind of taper off, and it's just really light, but really, really interesting. It's a fairly dry wine. It's not sweet or anything, and there are some tannins in the wine. It's about medium tannin, but it's kind of, I don't know. Yeah, when it first gets on the tongue, the flavors are kind of bold, and then it just kind of, before you swallow, it just kind of, the flavors just kind of peter out a little bit. It's interesting. It's a fairly smooth tasting wine. Not exactly what I expected when I opened the bottle. I expected this to be like a super bold wine. Interesting, because it's kind of started off that way, and it's kind of not really. But it does have a long finish. It stays with you. And 13.6% alcohol, is that what it said? That seems about right. It seems about right. But it's the blackberry is starting to go away. And the oakiness is starting to really become more pronounced. A little oaky, little oakier than it was at first. So, interesting. I'm not sure how to take this one, to be honest. I don't know. I'll have to think on that. We'll have to get down into the bottle, as I say. And that's where we really learn the wine's personality, is by getting down into the bottle. Anyway, so we do have some foods to pair it with, and I haven't shown you the foods. This is what we have prepared tonight. Tonight we have leftovers, of course. Always leftovers. But we had some barbecue tonight, and this barbecue was... I think what she prepared, what my lovely wife, she prepared, this looks like, we had some beef brisket, and then we had some beef rib. And this was from Midland Barbecue down the road from us. And we love the beef rib. It's really, really good. Very rich, very tender, fall off the bone, literally fall off the bone tender. And then their beef brisket is also quite good. So let's go ahead and, I tell you what, let's go ahead and try it with this. I'm not sure if we have the brisket or we have the, let's see. It's the brisket. We have the brisket here. All right. That's good. Barbecue, beef, brisket. I don't have any barbecue sauce. Let's pair it with that. Interesting. It's okay with the beef brisket. Mm. It's all right, but it seems to, the wine seems to be a little bit weak compared to the brisket. It does bring out the barbecue flavor more. It does do that, but it seems to me that the wine doesn't really really add any kick to it, so to speak. It doesn't really. I think we need a wine that's more tannic than this, and one with a little bit more body to it. That's what I was looking for. More body. Mm. It reminds me of a couple of Pinots that I've tried, Pinot Noirs that I've tried in the past that were very, very light. And I love a good Pinot Noir, but it does remind me more of a Pinot that I've tried. This, that was, yeah, they're very, very light wine. I'll have to say this, I can't say I'm disappointed, but it's just that I didn't expect this from the cab. The cab, I expected a little bit more tannin, and I expected a little bit of a bolder wine. And it's kind of weird because it started off. I mean, when I first put it in my mouth, it seemed fairly bold, and then it just kind of all went away. So interesting. Hmm. Yeah, it has a. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna have to. I want to play with this wine some more. Let me go ahead and... I've got one open already. Let me go ahead and clear the palate. And then let's try it. Let's go back to camera three and let's try it with the cheese. I'm going to try it first with the... Considering the how the wine is right now, let's try it first with the cheddar. Let's try it with the cheddar. Why not? I think this is a medium cheddar, so it should be... You'd go okay with that. Let's see. It makes the cheddar a little sweeter at first. That's the thing. That's what's getting me here is it's this wine I first put on the tongue has a fairly, there seems to be a fair amount of fruit and everything in this wine. But as it goes down, it just kind of peters out. It doesn't really hold the flavor doesn't hold, and it seems a little bit it seems a little bit watery going down, which I'm kind of surprised, and I'm not sure if I really like that or not. All right, let's clear the palate one more time. And let's try it with, there are a couple other things on this plate. There's the unexpected with cheddar with parm. I don't know about this one. This one needs a wine that's a little bit more, I don't know, that where the needs a little bit fruitier and a little bit more tannin. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because there are some tannins in this wine, but there's just not. I don't know. It's all right. It's all right, but once again, I think the cheese is carrying this wine more the other way around. It's not so much that they're pairing together. It's more like the cheese is kind of adding some flavor to the wine as opposed to the other way around. I'm sorry, but I know there's some people that had reviews that said, yeah, it was pretty decent and all that. Let me look at this. Yeah, wait a minute. Here's one that they're saying it's very light for Cabernet. And, yeah, and somebody else is saying it's a little thin. Yeah, I agree. I think that's the word I'm looking for. The word I'm looking for is it's thin. It kind of thins out. Kind of weird. Anyway, it's like it starts off okay, and then just kind of, and then it kind of not. It doesn't end very well. All right, let's go. We got one more item to try. I'll try it with that. Why not? Let's clear the palate one more time. And let's go to camera three. And there's this thing. I'm not 100% sure what this is. This is a some kind of a cheese. It came from another place. This came from a place called Jim and Nick's Barbecue, a different barbecue place. There's a story behind that, but I don't think anybody cares to hear about it. Anyway, this is like a little, I don't know what it is, some kind of bread thing with cheese in it or something. I don't know. It's tasty. We'll see if it saves the wine. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anything in that plate really can save this wine. Ooh, save me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. No, I don't think anything. It's all right. Maybe the coffee's better. We'll see. I don't know if I'm holding high hopes for that, the way things are going. All right, so the wine, I don't know. Well, we'll give it some time to open up and all that stuff, but I'm not holding on a lot of hope for this wine, to be honest. I'm sorry to the Mondavis, but and I'm going to tell you the story about the Mondavis. Okay, let me tell you the story behind this wine. So I did a little research there. I'm trying to figure out, okay, wait a minute, I've heard of Robert Mondavi. And to be honest, I was never crazy about Mondavi wives, and I did find them to be bolder, and they were fruitier, and they were okay. They're okay, but, after spending a lot of time and a number of years doing the show, experimenting, trying out a lot of other different wines, realizing that there was a whole world of wines out there, wines such as like the Mondavi wines, which I considered more almost table wine or something. It's something that's so common that I didn't really try one for years and years. And when I saw the CK Mondavi, I thought, well, what happened to Robert Mondavi? Well, it turns out, here's the thing. Yes, they are related. Robert Mondavi, I did some research on this. Robert Mondavi, he passed away, about 12, 13 years ago. So 2008, I think. And, he was well known for, because his family came over here from Italy. So his family is Italian winemakers, and his family, I think his parents, Cesare and Rosa Mondavi, they came from the marsh region of Italy, and I think they lived in Minnesota for a while. And then when they moved to Lodi, California, and when he was, in high school or so, and his dad established this fruit packing business. And I think at some point, I can't remember at some point, what point it was, I think they acquired the Charles Krug Winery. And that was in California. So for a while, he and his brother, there were two brothers, there was Robert and I believe it was Peter. And if I'm trying to remember how the story went. In fact, let me look it up, because I think there's some other information on this that I missed, but I want to make sure I don't have any of this wrong. Let's see if I have this. Okay, I'm looking at some of the history here, looking around on the internet. So, they bought the, it looks like they bought the Charles Krug Winery in Napa Valley in 1943. And he and his brother were running it for a while. And yeah, his brother Peter, that was his brother's name. And they worked on this together. And then at some point, I don't remember exactly when, but I think the story goes, they had a falling out of some sort. It even came to kind of like a fist fight of some sort with he and his brother, because I think Robert was the, if I remember the story correctly, Robert was the one that was more into the marketing end of the wine, and Peter was more into the developing the grapes and the process and that sort of thing. And they had a falling out at some point, I think because Robert wanted the wines to be of a higher quality or higher caliber or something like that. I don't remember what the deal was. But so they had this falling out, and then Robert went, Mondavi went and started his own winery, basically. I guess that's what it was. So he ran his winery basically from 19... I think from the mid late 1970s on up to, I guess, the early 2000s. And let me see if I can find some other information. Let me see. Okay. In 1966, apparently, he opened up the Robert Mondavi Winery. And he worked that with his sons. He had two sons at the time. So, 1966, I think it's founded the winery, apparently. So he was making these wines for a while. He won some awards for it, and he did pretty well with the wines. But apparently he and his brother made up for a little short while to make a barrel of wine for some charity event. They did that for a while. And they got together at some point for that. And then other than that, they kind of, I guess they'd gone their separate ways. So in 2000, I think it was 2008. Let me go to the actual winery site to find out what happened there, because I don't really recall right offhand where the story ended there, where the CK Winery came into play. But Robert Mondavi, I think, sold his winery at some point to one of the really big wine conglomerates. And then, let's see if we can find it here. Okay, here's information on the family. This is coming from their website, I believe, CK Mondavi website. So apparently around 2008, somewhere around that era, the other family, the other winery that was owned by the rest of the family, they kind of remade themselves. They sort of remade their winery. They renamed it and they relabeled it and all this kind of stuff. And it's now CK Mondavi is what that is. So that's basically what we're looking at here. The wine is from CK Mondavi. That is, and that was the winery that Peter Mondavi was running, apparently. That's the story I have, and I've heard it third and fourth hand, so I don't know. I wasn't there. But that's the story as I understood it. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, and if you have more details, if you know more about it, you probably know more about it than I do, because I never really kept up with this winery that much, to be honest. I had the Robert Mondavi wines before some years back, and I just remember they were just kind of, okay, you know. This is my first opportunity to try the CK Mondavi wine. And to be honest, Right now, I'm thinking, it's okay. So, yeah, nothing to write home about, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it'll grow on me. Maybe not. I don't know. It's all right. I've had better wines. I've had better cabs. I'll just say that. I'm sorry, but I have had better cabs. And I am not a sommelier. I'm not a wine aficionado. I'm not a wine expert. I don't have a trained palate for this sort of thing that has gone through decades of training. I'm just an everyman that likes to drink wine, like 99.999% of the rest of us are. And that's my opinion on this wine. And your opinion may be different. And there's some people that might really, really like this wine. I don't know. I don't know. I've had better wines. For less money, as a matter of fact. In fact, the one we had last week, which was actually a budget wine, was actually pretty good. So, yeah, there you go. Apparently, yeah, there was a 2004. That was a December 2004 Constellation brand. This is coming from Wikipedia now. Of course, you know, we all know Wikipedia is perfect. Constellation Brands acquired the Mondavi Winery in a controversial takeover for $1.3 billion cash and an assumption of debt. Okay. And Robert Mondavi died in 2008 at the age of 94. From what I understand, he was a pretty decent guy. He was a real benefactor. He's donated a lot of he's been involved in charities and donated a lot of things. So it's I don't want to talk bad about Robert Mondavi. May you rest in peace. I'm just not a big fan of the wine. That's all. I'm sorry, but I'm not. So anyway, well, I'm not a fan of this one anyway. Apparently, Robert didn't have much to do with this. Anyway, so that's what I know about the Mondavi, C.K. Mondavi, and the Robert Mondavi wineries, which isn't a whole lot. So don't take my word for any of this. Go look it up for yourself, because I'm probably wrong on probably all of it. So, or most of it. Anyway, that's just the way I heard it. Okay, so we've got some national days to toast. Let's do something a little more fun than this. National days to toast. I'm going to get ready for the national day toasting segment of this show because we do have a few national days to toast. I hope everyone will be toasting with me and raise your glasses and let's toast together. And we're going to tell a few dad jokes related to this. Get your dad jokes out, by the way. Okay, this. This Saturday evening, November 4th, 2023, is National Play Outside Day. That's the first Saturday of every month is National Play Outside Day. I'll drink to that, of course. It's also National Bison Day. First Saturday in November is National Bison Day. You like bison? Bison are pretty mean animals in life, but they taste pretty good. I like a good bison burger. I've had quite a few of them in my day. When I have the opportunity to have a bison burger, it's a little bit, a little bit of a heavier, like almost like a smokier meat, but it's good. I like it. It's not smokier meat. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't know what I'm looking for. But it's, yeah, I love bison
meat. Oh, yeah.
I do. I love a really good bison burger. You know, I think a bison burger. No, I won't go with this wine, I don't think. But I'll drink to National Bison Day. I'll drink to that. It's also National Chicken Lady Day. Yes, National Chicken Lady Day. Well, What is National Chicken Lady Day? Okay, I've got a little more information about this. By the way, all of these national days come from nationaldaycalendar.com. Nationaldaycalendar.com is Marlo Anderson's site. He is the CEO and curator of all of these national days. I have him to thank for that. So thank you. Thank you, Marlo. This is the information I got from nationaldaycalendar.com on National Chicken Lady Day. National Chicken Lady Day on November 4th annually honors Dr. Marthenia Tina Dupree. Tina is her nickname. Dr. Marthenia Dupree, also known as Tina Dupree. For 12 years, Dr. Dupree worked for the second largest chicken restaurant in the world as the Director of Community Relations and Training. You have a Director of Community Relations and Training for a chicken restaurant. Okay. She was widely known due to her work in the community. That's okay, yeah. During this time and through her work with the community and the people she helped, Dr. Dupree became known as the Chicken Lady. There you go. Dr. Dupree led numerous efforts to improve education in her community, which is a very noble cause, by the way. She provided training and certification that led to business opportunities to many in her area. Also, a very noble cause. Yeah, it is. That's me commenting on it. She not only led by example, but she enhanced the lives of those around her. So I'll tell you what, she sounds like she was a great lady. And I just say here to Dr. Marthenia Tina Dupree, also known as the Chicken Lady. Here's to you and to National Chicken Lady Day. I'll drink to that. National Chicken Lady Day. All right. And it's also, of course, by the way, can I do some for November 5th, 1st? No, we're going to do this. All right, November 4th, today, November 4th, for another hour and 8 minutes, it is. Are you ready for this? I'm not ready for this. Are you ready? It is National Candy Day. National Candy Day. I will drink to that. Here's a National Candy Day. And in honor, we're honoring National Candy Day. My lovely wife, Chi, has prepared this. Now, you can't see it from, looking down from the top, it may not look like a lot, but let me show it to you from the side, from head on here. This is what we're looking at. Well, that's what we were looking at before I ate the food. You see that right there? In honor of National Candy Day, my lovely wife, Chi, has prepared a bowl of candy with, it looks like a tree there with some mint and grape there. It looks like she has a nice tree going next to that, but she has a bowl of candy. And really, really nice work. Everything in here is edible. The bowl is made of, it looks like the bowl is made of an apple. And it looks like, I want to say there's a radish on the bottom that's holding up the apple. And she's got the tree going. She has mint from her garden and a grape, it looks like, stuck in there. And the I think what she has it stuck in there is I think it's a piece of apple. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's a piece of apple. Anyway, if Chi is in the chat there, she can tell me, she can give us the particulars as to what exactly it is. But it looks really nice, and the candy is edible. I'm not going to eat it right now, but it is very edible. So to my lovely wife, Chi, here is a great round of applause. Thank you for another great presentation tonight for the National Day. And, of course, let's drink to National Candy Day. Actually, I've got something a little bit more appropriate for that. Here we go. National, there it is. No, that's not it. Here we go. Whoops, that's not it either. Do I have anything appropriate for it? Let's see. Okay, there we go. I put the wrong thing. There we go. National candidate. Here's some candy. These are candy bricks. I made these on the show live. This was, I think, in season two. It was in season two. I did an episode where also I think I was doing a send-up for National Candy Day. And to do that, I found some candy bricks. You know, these they look like Legos, the candy bricks. And I opened a few packs, and I made a little candy brick castle there out of candy bricks. And we did it on the show. And after the show, of course, I ate them, which was really, really, really good. I enjoyed that immensely.
oh, yeah.
So, anyway, here's to National Candy Day. To National Candy Day. I'll drink to that. I've had my share of candy. More than my share of candy. But we'll not go there right now. Anyway. So, National Candy Day. Let's see. What else we got going on here? National Days. Let's do some National Days for November 5th. That's tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow in about an hour. Actually, we have one more National Day to toast. That is very, very important. But let's get to World Tsunami Awareness Day. November 5th is World Tsunami Awareness Day. I will drink to that. We should be aware of tsunamis before they hit. And I don't mean to be flippant about that at all. It's also November 5th, which is tomorrow. This is Sunday now, November 5th, 2023. You got to make sure you're ready for this. It's National Donut Day. That's right. It is National Donut Day. Yes, National Donut Day. So everybody go out and get your donuts for breakfast on Sunday morning. You don't have to. And I don't want people coming back and saying, yeah, I got hardened arteries because Rick told me to go had all these donuts for National Donut Day. No. The donuts are not healthy for you. But they're fun to eat. I'll say that. They are definitely fun to eat. Yep, they are. So National Donut Day. For National Donut Day, I'll say I'll drink to that. Why not? National Donut Day. By the way, I think I'm not 100% sure they're doing it on Sunday, but on National Donut Day, let me look that up real quick. Because I can. Don't the big donut chains like Dunkin' Donuts and Krispy Kreme, don't they usually do something for National Donut Day? Don't they usually like, give out a free donut or something? Let me find out here. Free donuts. Let's see. Free donut. I got to find out about this. National Donut Day. There we go. Free National Donut Day. Let's see. That's in June 2023. We missed that. All right. What is Krispy Kreme doing for National Donut Day? That's a good question. I'm looking this up right now. Okay, from people.com. Of all places. Okay, apparently that's June 2nd. Okay, and that's not now. That's like earlier in this year. Let me find out what they're doing today. November 5th. 5th, 2023. We're stopping the show here for a second. Let's find out if we're getting free donuts. Let's see. Okay. Dunkin' Donuts. Are they doing this? I don't know. Yes. All right. According to Dunkin' Donuts, I'm reading this from their site, directly from their website. It says, And this is dated November 3rd, 2023. As we bid farewell to daylight savings on November 5th and brace ourselves for winter on the way, Duncan is here to keep you running. And it says, add a sprinkle of joy to your Wednesdays with one free classic donut when you order any beverage. I'm reading this from the website, and you can go look at a Dunkin' Donuts. I didn't find anything at Krispy Kreme, by the way. They might be doing the same thing, but you can check it out. By the way, this is not a promotion for Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not being paid. Okay, this is not a paid promo for Dunkin' Donuts. I just want to make that clear right now. All right? Of course, if they want to pay me for it, that'd be fine, too. You know, but no, they're not paying me for it. All I'm saying is I'm looking for a place where I can get a free donut on Sunday morning. And this is, apparently Dunkin' Donuts is doing this. One free classy donut when you order any beverage. So, and that, I'm assuming that could be, that could include coffee and donut. I think that's fine. So, hey, yeah, let's keep running on Duncan there. That sounds good to me. I'm ready for that. So, not that I need it, because, I mean, donuts, well, come on. After all, donuts made me what the man I am today, that's for sure. Donuts and coffee and wine. You know, donuts can go good with wine, too, although I can't say I recommend it. So, we've got... So there is a deal going on with Dunkin' Donuts. There's probably one going for Krispy Kreme. I don't know. I tried to find it on the website. I didn't find anything there. Google hasn't been a big help on that. And there might be some other local donut shops doing the same thing. So you might want to check around and see what kind of deals are available. So back to the show. Here's to National Donut Day. I will drink to that again. Oh. Got to do it right. There we go. And let's see. What else is tomorrow? Tomorrow is also... It's also National Love Your Red Hair Day. What? National Love Your Red Hair Day. I didn't know I had any red hair. National Love Your Red Hair Day. Okay, whatever. I'll drink to that. Why not? I like redheads. I like, I like everybody. I like everybody. Including bald people. You know, I like bald people. I are one. All right, so Ed, you're awful quiet right now. Too quiet. Okay, what else we got here? All right, so did we do National Canada Day? Yes, we did. All right, there's one more day that we have to toast. It's inevitable. I was saving this one for last. Because today... Well, not today. It will be today in 56 minutes. It's going to be November 5th, 2023. And you know what happens on November 5th? All right. November 5th. Where's my drum roll? November 5th, 2023. Daylight savings time ends. There you go. Daylight savings time ends officially November 5th. And I just want to say that I am very thankful for that. Yes, daylight savings time ends actually tonight at 2 a.m. Eastern time, Eastern daylight time. Won't be Eastern daylight time because it won't be daylight. It's what do they call it. Never mind. Look, I remember back before daylight savings time. My, how times have changed. So tomorrow morning, at 2 a.m., just a reminder to everybody, here's to, actually, National Daylight Savings Time Day, by the way. The end of National Daylight Savings Time. I will definitely drink to that. Here's the end of National Daylight Savings Time. And I'll drink to that again because I can. And because this wine is so watery. There you go. I've never been a fan. Do you like daylight savings time? I've never been a fan of daylight savings time. Let me switch this over here. I've never been a fan of daylight savings time. And the reason is because it just throws off everybody's body clock. And they say it's actually not even healthy, especially when you're changing back. They're saying that it's not good for you health wise, and it throws everybody's body clocks off, right? It does mine, but I'll tell you what. And yeah, I mean, we'll wake up tomorrow morning. We'll wake up saying, "My, how times have changed." I ran that joke into the ground, didn't I? Doesn't even deserve a rim shot. Look, the thing about daylight's I don't really get the point of switching this whole daylight savings time thing. I really don't get it. I guess I'm just in the dark. Not really. I'm serious. I was just joking. Okay, that was a dad joke. I was starting the dad jokes early. Really, I understand daylight savings time. I understand the general concept of it, but why do we have to change the clocks at 2 a.m.? I always have trouble staying up that late to change my clocks. You know? Daylight savings time, to me, and I'm not getting political because it's not a political show, but daylight savings time is the government cutting off the bottom of a blanket and sewing it to the top of the blanket and saying, "See, it's longer now." Don't laugh again. Anyway, I've been working 25/7 to come up with a joke about daylight savings time. I'm still working on it. I honestly don't mind going back to regular time. I really want to. My philosophy on this, in all seriousness, my philosophy on this whole daylight savings time is just, if let's go year round with the time. Just pick a time. I don't care which one. You know, just daylight savings time or regular time, regular Greenwich Mean Time, whatever. Just pick a time and just stick with it. That's my philosophy. Just pick a time and stick with it, and that way, you know, that. I remember Victor Borg once said, "I don't mind going back to daylight savings time. With inflation, the hour will be the only thing I've saved all year." Victor Borg said, "I didn't." That deserves a rim shot. What do you think of it? I mean, what do you think of daylight going back? Falling back, you know, spring forward, this is the way it works. She always got confused over this, but the way it works is you spring forward and fall back an hour, right? So, I mean, what do you think about daylight savings time? Do you like it? Do you want to keep doing this spring forward, fall back business, or Do you want to just pick a time and stay there? You want to get rid of daylight savings time altogether? You know, hey, send me your comments at rick@sawyermedia.com, rick@sawyermedia.com. Let me know, and I'll read your comments on the next episode. Put them in the chat now, actually, if you're in the chat right now live. Put them in the chat and let me know what you think of the whole daylight savings time. We go through this every year, don't we? And, you know, it's funny because every year they say, oh, you know, we ought to do something about this daylight savings time business. Because a lot of people hate it. A lot of people don't like it. Hate's a strong word, but a lot of people dislike it. We'll say that. Aren't happy with it. But, and every year they kind of talk about it, but nobody ever does anything, right? That's right. Nobody ever does anything about it. So I guess it's with us for the long term. Let's see. Well, let's get to some dad jokes. I've got a few dad jokes on daily. I had a few. I already gave them to you. I have a few more. Let's do some dad jokes on the end of daylight savings time. What do you call a dog with a Rolex? A watchdog. Yeah, that's an old one. I'll tell you what, though. What I think, honestly, of the return to normal time from daylight savings time, I'm not losing any sleep over it. What do you call a clock on the moon? A lunar tick. Some of these are really, really bad. Okay. What do you think? No, I'm not even going to do that joke. Why didn't the clock work? It needed a hand. Yeah, that was dumb. That it's an old joke too. I'll tell you what though. I to be honest, I'm not sure about the end of daylight savings time. I'm not sure about it, but I give it 4 months. By the way, why did the boy throw the clock out the window? This is so dumb. This is an old joke. Everybody knows this joke, right? Who doesn't know this joke? Why did the boy throw the clock out the window? He wanted to see time fly. Yeah. That deserved a chicken, that clock. Why did the clock in the Chinese buffet run slow? It always went back for seconds. These are not good jokes. You know, I went to the library last week, and I noticed that I walked in there and I noticed there weren't any clocks in the library. So I asked the librarian, why aren't there any clocks around? And she said, because they talk too much. Laughing at my own bad jokes. All right. Okay. Yeah, first of all, I didn't go to the library last week. Oh, when was the last time I went to the library? I don't know. All right. By the way, did you hear about the guy who was laid off from the clock factory? I can't believe they let him go after all the extra hours he put in. He didn't seem to do it despondent about it, though. He said it was probably about time. How do you know if your clock is crazy? It goes cuckoo. That did not deserve a worm sot. No, that did not. Okay. You know, I used to have a different watch than this one. This one right here that I wear every week. I used to have a different watch than this one. But I lost it. I lost the other watch. It was a nice watch, too. But I lost it. And a while back, I went looking for it. Couldn't find it. And the other day, I was thinking, I got to start looking. I'm going to go find it again. So I was going to go look for it, but I just didn't have the time. That didn't work, did it? Now I know how these guys on the late night shows feel in their jokes, Mom. Hey. Well, okay. I think that'll do it for the clock jokes, right? For the daylight savings time jokes. I think that'll do it. Yeah.
No.
All right. Anybody else got any good dumb clock jokes? Time jokes? No. I think we're done with the daylight savings time jokes. Okay. I think we're past done with the daylight savings time jokes. Well, I must say that the entertainment was light tonight. At least we had all these daylight savings time jokes to fall back on. Yeah. Okay. We're done with them. We're done with them. All right, so we've got one more thing. I've got one more thing I want to throw out at you, and that is, and then we'll end the show for tonight, because I think it's probably time. let's see. I've got tonight's sci-fi trivia joke. Do we really need to do a sci-fi trivia joke tonight? I could save it for next week. Let's see. Do we have time for one? Let me see. Tonight's sci-fi trivia joke. If I can find out what I did with it, because I'm always losing these things. Where's my trivia jokes? Where do they do it? Oh, here it is. Here's tonight's sci-fi trivia joke. What 1999 comedy was a send-up of Star Trek? There you go. What 1999 comedy was a send-up of Star Trek? I'll give you some time to think about that one. Ed, do you know? Anybody else know? What sci-fi comedy from 1999? It was released in 1999 as a feature film. And it was a send-up of Star Trek. Pretty much Star Trek all around. Mostly the original series, or not what's known as TOS or TOS, the original series. And then there's TNG, the Next Generation. Or sometimes I sometimes call it the Next Degeneration. And of course there's Star Trek Voyager and Deep Space Nine and Enterprise. Not necessarily in that order. Some of them were kind of concurrent. I think Deep Space Nine was still running when Voyager was on, I think. I used to watch a lot of them. I didn't see every episode or every show of those, but I saw most of them, a lot of them. And now they've had some other Star Trek shows since then. I haven't really kept up with most of those. Picard, I tried to watch Star Trek Picard, but it's been behind a paywall, Paramount Plus. So I haven't really had a. I saw like one. I think I've seen three episodes, and the rest of it was behind a paywall, and I didn't want to pay for it. So, so I didn't see the rest of them. Maybe one of these days. Anyway, so what 1999 comedy was a send up of Star Trek? Anybody know? Any final thoughts on that? Okay, no, it's quiet everywhere. Okay, the answer is, give you one more chance. What 1999 comedy was a send-up of Star Trek? Anybody? No? The answer is Galaxy Quest. That was Galaxy Quest, which now become a classic show. The 1999 comedy that was a send-up of Star Trek. And it was a very affectionate send-up of Star Trek and mostly of the Star Trek fans. It was really a fan film for the fans. So it was like a love letter to the fans of Star Trek. And that was Galaxy Quest. There you go. That was tonight's trivia question. All right. I think we've got it for this show. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. The coffee. Let's review the coffee, shall we? Let's do a quick review of the coffee. I almost forgot about that. How did I forget about the coffee? I didn't even need to remind me. I don't have a producer. Now, this is what we've got tonight for coffee. This is called Fair Trade Breakfast Blend. This is a coffee called Fair Trade Breakfast Blend. This is a coffee, and I found out this is an organic coffee, and I found out the deal on this coffee. Now, let me tell you what. Let's save some time. Let's go ahead and brew this coffee, and I'll tell you all about it while it's brewing. That'll save us a lot of time, won't it? All right, let's put some water in this. There we go. Let's put some water in here. Let's open up this package of breakfast blend coffee. It's supposed to be an organic coffee. Now, this organic coffee comes in pods. I guess it happens to open from the front, doesn't it? It opens from the front. And there's a little, that's what we have here is like a foil package just to keep the coffee fresh. The reason this foil package is here to keep the pods fresh, because I've opened these types of things before, because this is not a traditional K-cup pod. Now, usually you have the plastic K-cup pods. We've been through that before. This is not your traditional K-cup pod. This is because those K-cup pods are patented. So this, wow. Smells pretty good. Smells like coffee. So your traditional K-cup pod has this plastic container, and it has a little foil top, and then it has, it gets punctured in the bottom, so it flows out through the bottom. If it's a non-Keurig branded or it's not one that uses the patented Keurig cup, they have to come up with their own designs that will work in these machines. And that's what this one did. Now, Trader Joe's did that with a few. I reviewed one of those Trader Joe's coffee cups, those cups that they use, and I wasn't really thrilled about it. This is a different one. This is one that has the filter. The whole bottom part of it is a filter, as you can see. And the coffee is in there. And then it punctures it through the top, and then it runs all through the whole thing. So that's what we've got going on here. Now we're going to pop this in here. I shouldn't have a problem. And close it up. And of course, I don't want to forget the coffee mug. I've done that before. And of course, thank you to my good friend Ed for donating this cup. There's always time for friends, wine, and coffee. And I've made this the official mug of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. This is now the official mug for Drink with Rick. So that's what we've got. I've poured the water in here, poured about 12 ounces in. We're going to go ahead and start the brewing process. And while it's brewing, let me tell you all about this coffee. And it's going to take a minute or two to brew. That's why I'm trying to save some time here. But I did not set up the image for it, so I'm going to do that now. So let me get the there we go. Let me get this other. There we go. I need this other keyboard here. This is called Breakfast. Listen, what's this called? It's called Simple Truth Organic. Simple Truth. I'm going to look this up, and I'm going to give you and coffee to it. Simple truth. Yeah, I'm doing this live on the show. How about that? Some more stuff I have to edit out of the podcast later. So, simple truth. Let me find the coffee. There we go. Simple truth. Let me show you the front of this thing. And this is it right here. Simple Truth Coffee. This is a Simple Truth Organic. This is an organic coffee. Look at all the labels on there. It says Fair Trade Certified 100% Arabica Coffee, USDA Organic, Non-GMO, Organically Grown, No Preservatives. This is a mild roast coffee for breakfast. It's in compostable pods. Works with K-Cup brewing systems. There you go. So that's what that's all about. And I've got another. Let me see if we've got another one. Simple Truth. This is brewing now, by the way. Let me show you another angle of this, so we can learn more about this coffee. Okay. Now, this, I've got another image from the back of this box here. Compostable Pod Evolution is what it says. So this is an organic coffee, or so they say. Simple Truth Organic Pods are made with renewable plant-based materials without traditional single-use plastics. Okay, see that I like that concept. That's a cool concept. I think this coffee's not brewing. You know, it's just gonna do that for a minute. All right, any time now. All right, okay. Come on. It's just going and going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. All right, there we go. The entire pod is designed to easily break down to become nutrients for the soil when processed in a composting facility. Beyond plastic for a great coffee experience, the lid is made with plant-based and other compostable material. There's a brown ring there made with upcycled coffee bean skins and other compostable materials. No way, really? Made with upcycled coffee bean skins and other compostable materials. Filters made with plant-based material. Wow. Okay, that's interesting. Didn't know what I was picking up off the shelf. I got this at the Harris Teeter. This is what it paid for, by the way. I'm going to let this cool down for a minute. I got this from the local Harris Teeter. And I paid for this box of coffee. And there are how many pods in here? 12 pods. Generous of them. I paid for this breakfast blend coffee $7.99. Now, the regular price is $9.99. But because this particular Harris Teeter does their, you know, has their rewards card and whatever, that's another subject entirely. But because of that, it's knocked down. They took $2 off and knocked it down to $7.99. Okay. We'll see what the value is there when we taste this coffee, because we're going to taste one in just a minute. It's very, very hot, by the way. But it's I find this whole coffee pod, biodegradable coffee pod concept very interesting, very intriguing. But that's why it's in this foil container, just to keep the freshness. It's to preserve the freshness on these coffee pods. Because if you expose these things to air for any length of time, any period of time, the coffee's going to dry out. It's going to go bad. It's not going to taste very good at all. So that's why they put it in there, and it seems to work pretty well. This is still pretty hot to drink. Let me give it a whiff. All right, smells like Arabica coffee. smells rather strong and smells a little bit on the bitter side right off the bat. It's going to take a moment or two for that to cool down so I can try it. But it smells okay. It smells okay as coffee goes. Now, once again, this is apparently, I looked it up. The website is simpletruth.com. The website is on the bottom of the box. Simple, I don't know if you can see it there. Simpletruth.com. The thing is, I went on their website and I looked around, and as lo and behold, when I looked up Simple Truth, landed on their website, what did I see branded all over it? Kroger branded. So this is a Kroger brand, apparently. SimpleTruth.com is a website with their coffee, but it is a house brand coffee from Kroger. Kroger makes this coffee, as far as I know. That's what I got from it. So we did, and the reason I'm saying this is because a few weeks ago, we reviewed a different coffee. It was a, what was it? It was a caramel coffee or something. It was a flavored coffee. And it was from Kroger. It was a different Kroger brand. And it was not that great. I was not impressed with it. Okay. It was kind of bland. It was kind of meh. I really didn't care for the coffee that much. We're trying another one from Kroger. I did not know this was a Kroger brand until I picked it up and brought it home and looked it up. So I don't know what to think about this coffee just yet. So we're going to give it a fair, I'm going to give it a fair assessment. But based on my previous experience with a Kroger brand coffee, I don't have high hopes for it. I'm being biased. Yes, I'm being biased, and I should not be biased. I should not be biased at all. Just because one Kroger brand coffee was not that great doesn't mean that all the Kroger brand coffees are going to follow suit in the same way. And the coffee doesn't smell bad from here. It really doesn't, but I have not tasted it yet. So let's give it a little bit of a taste and see what this tastes like. And it, it tastes like coffee. Doesn't taste bad. It doesn't taste like a bad. It's a little bit strong now. Okay, wait, hold on a second. Looking at the front of this, the first photo. Let me go back to the first photo here. Okay, it clearly says there, if you can see it, those of you who can see it live, it clearly says mild roast, and there are five little dots there, and two of them are colored in, these orange dots. And it says mild roast. So I guess there's a milder roast than this one that's like one colored in dot, and that's like really mild. This is two colored in dots that says mild roast. And I guess when you get to the middle, if there are three in there, I'm assuming that means it's a medium roast. And then as you get to four and five colored dots, it goes into a darker roast. This mild roast has two dots, so it's not super mild, but still kind of mild, right? And that's the assumption that I'm making here based on, they don't really say what the criteria, they don't really spell it out and don't give a legend for their system there, but I'm assuming that's kind of what it means. But this does not tastes like a mild roast. It tastes more like a medium roast. Now, that's just me. I've had a lot of coffee in my day, just like I've had a lot of wine, but I've had a lot of coffee, but I can say that this tastes more like a medium roast coffee. Now I'm having a little bit more, and I'm going to slurp it up for the ASMR crowd. Well, I didn't slurp it up that much, did I? I'll slurp it up some more. There you go. That's for the ASMR crowd. I guess it could be a mild to medium roast. It could be okay. It's okay. It's not super bitter or anything like that. It's not really oily tasting or anything like that. Not like that French roast coffee we had a few weeks back. That was very, very oily. This is okay. It's, I think this is all right. I would drink this for a breakfast coffee. Now, it's not, it doesn't taste real refined. I guess because it's organic, so there's probably not a lot of preservatives or anything like that. Good for you. It's probably better for you than a lot of other coffees like that. It's okay. I could drink this. Yeah. I mean, is nothing special about this coffee? Absolutely. There's nothing special about it. There's something that doesn't like call out to me and say, oh, wow, this is an amazing coffee, because I wouldn't call it an amazing coffee, but it's okay. It's okay. So, I'd give it a little bit of a, exactly. Just like that. It's okay. I'm okay with this coffee. I'll drink it. I'll finish this off and I'll drink the rest of it. It's, would I buy more of it? Not for $7.99. Let me be honest about this. I don't know that I would buy this for $7.99. For 12 pods, it's not too bad. I mean, you know, I've had other coffees that I really, really enjoyed that they only put like 10 pods in there, or 8 pods, and for $6.99, 10 pods for $6.99. What does that break down to? That's about on par with the 10 pods for $6.99. So this is $7.99. I wouldn't pay 10 bucks for it. I'll just say that. I'm glad I got it on sale. I wouldn't pay 10 bucks for it, but I would pay 6 or 7 bucks for it. Okay, or 8. Okay, it's 8 bucks because it's like, what's a penny, right? What's $7.99 and penny? That's 8. You got the tax too, but it's okay. And yeah, I could drink this for breakfast. It's not the best breakfast blend that I've ever had. Well, it's not really blend, I wouldn't say, but it's 100% Arabica. It's not the best breakfast coffee I've ever had. I've had some better ones. I'll tell you, some of the ones I really like are like the Krispy Kreme coffees. The Dunkin' Donuts makes a pretty decent coffee. This is okay. I wouldn't say it's on par with them, but it's okay. I like it. It's good enough. So that's my final review on that. That's the review I'm going to give it. It's all right. 3.5 stars, maybe. All right, so I guess that's going to close it up for tonight. I'm going to give a final review of the wine, just briefly. The wine, this is what we're drinking, CK Mondavi Family Wine, 2021 Cabernet Sauvignon. I'm not overly impressed with this wine, okay? I've had a little bit more since then. It's okay. It starts off, I mean, when you first taste it, it starts off fairly bold in the mouth, but then it kind of loses it, and it just becomes watery and as it's opened up anymore. As it's opened up, some mix of blackberry, blueberry, and cherry in there. Not a strong mix of any of them. It's a little bit oaky. Medium tannin. Actually, the tannins are kind of like wimping out too. It's not. It is. It kind of. There's. It's a long-lasting finish, but there's not much to be said for the finish. It's just not. It's there, but it's nothing. Nothing great about it. It's just. It lacks. Yeah, I mean, It's thin. As one of the reviewers said there on Vivino, it's thin. And I agree with that. It's not a great wine. Would I buy it for the price? Not really. That's just me, but not really. I would say, you know, if it was like $4 or $5 and I didn't have any other wine to around that price range. I've had better wines at that price range, by the way, and cabs too. And I'm kind of disappointed because this is 100% Cabernet. I've had better cabs. This is not one of them. It's a little disappointing, I'll say. So I'd give this maybe... Should I give it 3 stars? I don't know. It's kind of mediocre. It's kind of mediocre. That's all I'll say. So the coffee actually fares better than the wine. But that's just me. Anyway, that's my final review on the wine. And as far as the jokes are concerned, daylight savings time is almost over. That's all I can say about that. I'm looking forward to the end of daylight savings time. Once again, the entertainment was light tonight. At least we had all the daylight savings time jokes to fall back on. I did that one already.
Yeah. Oh, great.
All right. Well, I guess that does it for the show tonight. Don't forget next week we'll have hopefully it'll be a better show. The 18th, November 18th, is the premiere of Space Apes from Ice Planet Alpha. So be here for that. Really, I'd really appreciate it. We'll see if we do some giveaways and such. And we have the holidays coming up here too. And I have a Thanksgiving show that I want to do, our annual Thanksgiving show. I hope you'll join me for that as well. Anyway, I do want to thank you for being here. I want to thank my good friend Ed and everybody who showed up and was watching. Everybody's watching here on YouTube and Odyssey and those watching on Twitch, but Twitch has been kind of quiet lately. And I think part of that is probably because I switched over to the just chatting instead of the podcast category. But I'm going to be introducing a couple of new platforms that we're going to be getting onto in the next week or two. So we'll meet a lot of new people there. Right now, what I want to do is I want to bring out your friend of mine. That's right. The official mascot of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And it is none other than Roadkill Bill. That's right. Roadkill Bill. And he deserves a round of applause right here. This is for Roadkill Bill. And Bill has a special message for all of us. And the message is, please do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever it is. If you have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a cab, call a friend who has a valid driver's license and who hasn't been drinking and you trust to take you home safely. Otherwise, just stay where you are. Okay? Don't put yourself and others at risk. It's not worth it. Please do not drink and drive. Also, do not text and drive either. I've seen a lot of that lately. Extremely dangerous stuff. Please do not text and drive. Because I want you to have a great week. But most of all, and I mean this sincerely, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.